During the era of muscle cars, souped-up engines, and great American road trips, Die Hard was born. And for 50 high-performance years, they haven't stopped charging ahead. Die Hard is honoring the spirit of those who have a passion for the road and what they drive by partnering with Sears Auto Center to give you exciting offers to help you get to your next adventure. Right now, buy 3 Die Hard tires and get one free with installation at a Sears Auto Center near you. Visit SearsAuto.com to find a location. 50 powerful years. Forever Die Hard.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Sean Hyken of The Athletic. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund of 670 The Score. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere you can find podcasts. Make sure you subscribe, leave us a 5-star review, tell your friends to subscribe, all that kind of stuff. You can find us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, like us on Facebook at Locked On Bulls, and if your company is interested in advertising to men between the ages of 18 and 54, then your company should be advertising right here on our show. Our audience is 95% men, and 78% of our audience is between the ages of 18 and 44. Recent surveys have shown that the podcast listeners are 65% more willing to consider purchasing products they learned about from podcasts, and 60%, given equal price and quality, prefer to purchase from companies that advertise in their favorite podcasts. Our rates are very reasonable, so email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com with any inquiries. Cody, you and I are both doing our jobs. We can both look at each other and say that we've done our job, but we just have to decide, you know. Everybody else has to decide if they want to do a great podcast on a night-to-night basis.
Yeah. Fortunately for our team, there are only 2 of us and not 12 others as there are on the Bulls, including 7 or 8 with 9 with 3 years of experience or less, and those are the ones that Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade are upset with after a 119-114 loss to the Atlanta Hawks on Wednesday night at the United Center, where the Bulls found a way to blow a 10-point lead with just under 3 minutes remaining in this game. They did not get the job done down the stretch, offensively or defensively, and Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler both let their teammates have it after the game. To sum it up in a few words,
they went scorched earth.
Scorched earth, they said. I don't think they care enough. I don't think they take losses hard enough, and I don't think they put the work in. That's a paraphrase.
Okay,
and
so
we will get to some exact
These quotes are so good.
These are legendary, just absolute gold here. And Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler entered the locker room from the shower at the same time, and they've been known before to talk about messages before and be on message, and they were certainly on message again tonight. It was something else. Jimmy Butler said, if you don't come to the MF game pissed off after you lose any game, if you're not pissed off that you lost, man, something is wrong. That's your job. This is what you're supposed to love to do, and I don't think everybody looks at it that way, was what Jimmy said, among many other things. Dwayne Wade said, quote, I don't know if I see enough guys who really, really want it. Losses like this have to hurt them. I'm 35, I have 3 titles, and it shouldn't hurt me more than it hurts these young guys. They have to want it. He later added, he can't want it for them. Maybe one of the quotes of the night. These two played magnificent basketball. Jimmy had 40 points, Dwayne Wade had 33, so combined they had 73 points. Bulls teammates had 41, and Dwayne Wade said, quote, I can look at Jimmy and say Jimmy is doing his job. I think Jimmy can look at me and say Dwayne is doing his job. I don't know if we can keep going down the line and be able to say that.
And well, we also need to provide some context here. This is coming a day after Dwayne Wade told reporters in Orlando that he is not happy with the Bulls' record, and he's, you have to look at a variety of things when you're deciding whether he opts out and goes somewhere else this summer. This is also going as Dwayne Wade's 2 fellow Banana Boat squad members are kind of going through their own stuff, with LeBron calling out Cavs management the other day, and Carmelo Anthony basically in a power struggle with Phil Jackson right now. So, you know, it's interesting times in the Banana Boat squad.
I love the NBA. The only reason Chris Paul's probably not in the headlines too is because he's injured, right? Otherwise, we could complete the quartet of off-court drama. I guess the Bulls is kind of on-court drama too, but Sean, like, let's get to the point. This, to me, the scene, the feeling, the words, the vibe, everything about that signaled a fractured locker room to me.
And this is the first time I've really felt that this season. Like, everybody's always kind of stayed on message until now. Maybe the locker room is as fractured as it was last year, but until now, it seems like people have done a good job of hiding it. Everybody says, you know, everybody's bought in, everybody's committed. Maybe Wade and Jimmy, the two guys who have the credibility to call other players out, are just calling out everybody. Now, to be fair, I don't think they were actually calling out everybody. I don't think they were really throwing, you know, Chris Felicio or Denzel Valentine or somebody.
Oh, no, I think Denzel Valentine might be on that list. He didn't get in this game. Just because he didn't play doesn't mean some of those pointed, sharp words shouldn't be going at him. Like, he and Bobby Portis should be in the rotation contributing by now. And Dwayne Wade was given the opportunity to tee up on Fred Hoiberg, and he didn't really, he was asked a question, you know, if Hoiberg's rotation's kind of prohibiting the young guys from having more consistency, and Dwayne Wade did not call out Fred Hoiberg whatsoever. He continued to call out his young Bulls teammates. So, Chris Felicio, I agree, that's a guy that they've all been really proud of and the work he's put in, and, you know, Chris didn't exactly shine on this night or anything, 4.6 rebounds, but again, no, I don't think so. But there's a handful. Niko Mirotić is one. I do think he wishes he had more from Denzel Valentine, Bobby Portis, Jaren Grant by now. They're not getting it. I don't know how much worth we can put into like them directing these comments at Paul Zipser, who just showed up like 5 games ago. You know what I mean? But I think they were still mad that like Zipser shot a 3-pointer late in the game with down the stretch with the game on the line. Like, they were still annoyed by something he did. And they expressed their displeasure, but I mean,
This
feels like a crossroad, Sean.
90% Niko, I think.
90% Niko.
That's
why do you say that?
Because he's the one, you know, he's the guy that, you know, people had hoped they'd see a lot more out of this season. He's a guy that I think they thought was a big part of their future plans. He hasn't been that good for the most part. He's out there late. Doug McDermott was not out there.
Yes.
Doug McDermott, I think, had the best game out of any of their bench players.
Well, I mean, Doug started well, but he only shot 3 of 11. Or excuse me, I misread that. He started well, only shot 4 of 9. Niko Mirotić shot 3 of 11. Doug should be providing more, too. I guess I left him out there in that spiel just a couple seconds ago. But yeah, it's all of them. To the Niko point, Sean, here's something that is important that needs pointed out. Niko had a shot with about 25 seconds left to put the Bulls ahead. A 3-pointer, a decent look, and he missed it. They were trailing by 2, missed that open look. Dwayne Wade after the game. Now, there were only 2 shots down the stretch that he and Jimmy Butler didn't shoot. What I thought was a forced 3-pointer by Paul Zipser with about a minute something left, 125 left or so. I thought Zipser was a little quick on the trigger on a shot that wasn't completely open. But again, 2 shots, one by Zipser, one by Niko down the stretch that weren't D-Wade or Jimmy Butler. And Dwayne Wade said, quote, "My thing is if you're going to shoot those shots, you better have made that shot a lot of times and you better have put the work in. And I don't see that enough." That, I think, speaks to your Niko Mirotić point, does it not?
Absolutely. The Bulls gave up 41 points in the fourth quarter to the Hawks.
Wait, okay. I don't care.
That's
on all 5 of them. That's a good point.
No, I know. That's
Doug wasn't on the floor.
That's a lot of points to give up.
Niko wasn't on the floor for most of that fourth quarter either when they were giving up all of those points because he was the late sub there. They had Zipser, Butler, Wade, and Robin Lopez and Taj, I believe, for long stretches there. So there's a lot of blame to go around, but this is bad for the Bulls that they lost. I think it's bad that they're calling them out. I think it's also really entertaining because it...
Oh, this is fantastic.
Like, some of this, like, again, I feel like it's been bubbling, made the point off air. Like, this could have happened if they lost the Kings game the other night. The fact that they lost the game and Butler and Wade went for 73 points combined and played so well speaks to the fact that, like, it was just the most timely opportunity, I think, for them to do this. Because, like, the headlines tomorrow, the talk show, on talk shows and stuff, like, you can't be like, oh, Wade and Butler didn't do their job because they couldn't have been more miraculous. It was their best two-man basketball of the season.
Especially Wade having this kind of performance on the second night of a back-to-back.
14 of 24 from the field.
20 points in the first half. So we have a couple of sub-tweets we have to get to here.
Okay.
This is very important. There's another one that just crossed the wire. But first,
Jaren Grant.
Jaren Grant, who tweeted afterwards, because, you know, Wade says all this stuff about how, you know, a lot of guys in the locker room don't want it enough or aren't losing sleep over it or just happy with being in an NBA jersey and making money.
Yes. Now, for our elder listeners who might not be up to date on Twitter quite as well. I know our age demographics usually younger. You get this subtweet is where you don't directly mention someone on Twitter, but you know what they're talking about. You know who they're calling out. Jaren right. Grant, what'd he say?
Right. So Jaren first tweets, tough loss, that hurt for sure, but I play hard to win, all caps, every second I'm out there and grind every day for everything I have. The only way I know how to play is to win.
It's so good.
Now, again, I really don't think that Jimmy and Wade were really calling Jaren out here.
Yeah, but I will say, I think Jimmy Butler has a good relationship with Jaren Grant so far. So would he like him to have done a little more? Certainly. But again, the brunt of what carries the most weight in those comments, I also don't think they were directed at Jaren Grant.
And we have another subtweet fresh off the timeline.
What do you got?
Isaiah Cannon, who was inactive tonight, not only didn't play, but was inactive.
Veteran Isaiah Cannon.
Isaiah Cannon, he's been completely out of the rotation. He says, tough loss. We win and lose together. Hashtag free Sip. Now, Sip is his nickname, so.
Ooh. So, Jaren Grant says, I play to win. Isaiah Cannon says,
this we is, win and lose together. This is hashtag free Sip.
As a team. Because, I mean, there's no way, you're in that locker room, and the only vibe you get is that it's Team Jimmy and D-Wade.
More Jaren tweets.
And then 12 others. Oh, my gosh. These are, we're just reading live Jaren Grant tweets right now in our feed.
He says, my point is I work hard, I play hard, I play to win for our team.
I don't even think that's any different from the last tweet he sent.
Yeah, he's still firing him. He's firing him, though. Do you think they're on? Do you think he's back at his play? I don't know where in Chicago he lives, but do you think he's at his place? Or do you think they're on the team bus going,
they're not on a team bus because they have tomorrow off and they're in town. So they are not together unless they plan a
I wonder,
trip
is he with any teammates? Is he just like, are he and like Bobby Portis or something, just like sitting at a dinner table, like thinking about firing off these tweets?
I don't know. We're going to have to stay up to date on Snapchat in the next 24 hours, though. Any Bulls that post there in the tweet game? Because look, this can bring a team together or it can fracture
Wade,
them further.
Wade posted a Snapchat 22 minutes ago.
Well, we'll have to get to that later, Hyken. But the point is, I just don't see the mental makeup and the talent on this team for what happened tonight to propel them to a higher level, is what I would say.
I'm right, and I mean, that's been an issue this whole season. You know, this team is just, I mean, outside of obviously Jimmy Butler is incredible. He's having a great year. He's a top 10 to 15 player in the league. Dwayne Wade has been a little bit inconsistent, but he, has his moments like tonight. And he's generally been pretty good. Taj Gibson's as solid as you're going to ever ask for anyone to be. Other than that, this team is just not that good. Yeah. And it's been that way the whole year. I mean, they overachieved maybe the first month of the season. They were 10-6 after that circus trip, but since then they just kind of are what everybody thought they were going to be. And it's maybe, I mean, Wade knew what he was signing up for. He knew this team wasn't going to be a title contender, but I don't think he thought they were just completely going to check out like this.
Yeah, and I think another thing, just to the point of they're not good enough. I mean, they might have been playing with fire a little bit on this night because Dwayne Wade made so many tough jump shots. Jimmy Butler carries such a huge burden, and they both missed good looks at jump shots at the under 2 minute mark that could have proved to be difference makers in the game. Jimmy missed the late 3-pointer that probably wouldn't have done anything still when they're down 4 points. But these poor possessions late, I didn't think the shots were awful, but they were a ton of jump shots. The Bulls just aren't a good jump shooting team, so that it caught up to them like it did offensively. I wasn't surprised that they went through a 2 or 3 minute offensive lull. But then another hilarious subplot of all this. Like, I don't know what other word to use besides hilarious.
Oh, this is all Fred, incredibly funny.
Fred said the Bulls had a 10-point lead with 3 minutes to go, and there was a TV timeout. And he said the one point he stressed in the huddle was don't let the Hawks get looks at three-pointers. Run them off the three-point line. Don't let them have that look. In a 63-second stretch, the Hawks drilled 3 three-pointers,
Millsap,
including a couple from Millsap.
Paul Millsap hits – no, it was three different guys.
No,
Millsap hit one, Schroeder hit one, and Tim Hardaway Jr. hit one.
Well, there you go. But, I mean, it's just incredible how that happens. And it was good ball movement by the Hawks. I'll give them that. But the Bulls' defense still having a fundamental breakdown there. Because if it's 110 to 106 instead of 110 to 109, if they gave the Hawks three layups,
the Bulls probably win this game. Because you could just feel the difference once it turned in. Hardaway hit that three with like a minute 40 left or something. And it turned into just everyone is nervous. And it's like, holy hell. And you could see on the sidelines, there was a moment where Hoiberg, after that Hardaway three, he's like putting his hands down for everyone to calm down, almost like a quarterback in an NFL game, trying to snap the ball, telling the crowd to quiet down. Like, Hoiberg wanted everyone to chill out, settle down, and that didn't work because Paul Zipser, I think, got the next shot and missed it. Paul Zipser was out there on the floor because something, mumble, something he'd impressed Fred Hoiberg with quality two-way play in recent weeks, even though
honestly,
he was 0 for 4 with 2 points on this night, and I didn't see him making any difference defensively.
Honestly, I was fine with, just in a vacuum, just the shots that they got. I was fine with the shot that Zipser got. I was fine with the shot that Nico got.
I thought Zipser's was a little quick trigger, or just he seemed a little guarded. Like, let Jimmy or D-Wade shoot that shot, what I thought. But in general, I absolutely agree with you.
I was fine with both of those looks. It wasn't like they broke the play and decided to take the shot of him. They called up a play for Jimmy or Wade. But, yeah, I mean, those guys have to... in a game like this, especially, you know, where they combine for 73 points, those two, the two alphas who are still alphas, have to, you know, one of them has to get the ball at the end. And I think that's on Hoiberg.
Yeah, kind of. We would have to get to the bottom of the details, and Fred was brief in his post-game presser. He was asked specifically about the play in which Nico got the three-point shot, said he liked the look, it just didn't go in, was what Fred said.
It was a fine look, but you still have to draw that play up for Jimmy.
Well, no, one of them went to the hoop. I don't know. We could really use instant replay here. We don't always have that. When someone hits a game-winning shot, it shows up in our Twitter feed 800 times, but when someone misses a big shot with 25 seconds left, we don't always get an immediate look at it before hopping back on the podcast here. But, I mean, the ball was in the right people's hands on that play, I believe. And like you said, I mean, it was decent there. But there was some timeout confusion, too. I know there were some video clips going around showing Hoiberg wanting to call a timeout and Jimmy shaking his head no. And then another time, Nico looking like he wanted to call a timeout after Dwight Howard split a pair of free throws, and then the Bulls deciding not to call a timeout and go down the court, and Jimmy hit a bank shot to tie it before the Hawks went on to win. But it was just some chaos again. And look, I don't think Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade are pleased with Fred Hoiberg and all his decisions down the stretch. I know they're not. But on this night, that wasn't even the start of their anger. You know what I'm saying? So I don't, again, know how this plays out. I mean, Dwayne Wade was asked, like, is this a debilitating loss for this team? And he goes, I don't know if they care enough, so I can't say that it is. Like, think about that. Think about that, Sean. It's just insane. I don't know how they move forward off this.
I mean, I know how a more functional organization would move forward off of this.
How?
Well, all I'll say is you can't fire the players.
Well, it's year two of Fred Hoiberg. I don't think he's getting fired.
I don't think he is either. I don't.
Well, you know what a functional organization can do? Gar Foreman or John Paxson can go on the record and speak. LeBron James just called out his Cavs front office, kind of in a scorched earth tone, just like Dwayne Wade called out Bulls teammates. And David Griffin, their GM, responded. Ty Lue and them addressed it. Like, the Bulls front office can come out and publicly address this if they want and give Fred Hoiberg a little bit of support. Because, let's be honest, I mean, Dwayne Wade has more cachet right now walking around than Fred Hoiberg when they're dealing with problems here. So they can come out and speak and say, you know, like, we haven't armed these guys with enough good players. We haven't been consistent enough. I need those guys to be a little more patient. I think they need to be a little less aggressive in their tone with young teammates because I don't think it's going to help, and we'll talk to them about it, and we're going to do our best to get better in that regard. I don't know that it changes a lot, but that's one way to kind of quell the rising tide of, I don't know, a fractious locker room here, I guess.
It's going to be real interesting this next month between now and the trade deadline. Something is going to change. I don't know what.
Well, Jimmy asked him about the trade deadline, and he wasn't buying that either, because that's not the mode he's currently in. And Jimmy said, I don't give a damn about no trade deadline. I just want to win now, not later, now. What do you read into that comment?
I mean, I think he... I don't think that was him saying he doesn't want to be here. I think that was him saying, get me better teammates.
Can that happen?
I don't know. I don't think it can. I really don't. This is going to be interesting. That's what I don't know what the right solution is, because I still... I mean, we've talked about this a million times. I'm still in the camp that thinks they shouldn't trade Jimmy and completely blow it up, but...
At this rate, I really want him to stick around, because it's good entertainment. There's off-court drama, like, and he's at the point where he's a good enough basketball. Jimmy threw up 40 tonight on the second game of back-to-back. He threw up 40 on 13 of 22 shooting. He played over 40 minutes. Like, Jimmy has been spectacular. He's earning the right to call out. I don't know that you ever earn the right to call out a coach, but if you do, he's reaching that threshold. When he called out Fred Hoiberg in Hoiberg's rookie season, I didn't think Jimmy had ascended to that level where he should be doing that yet, especially a guy who was like a month or two into the job.
When you're an all-star starter, one of the 10 best players in the NBA,
and you think this is a way to get it going, because like, think, if you're Jimmy, I totally get Jimmy's perspective here. So Jimmy has just been brilliant again and again and again.
And he feels like
he's treading water at times and is helpless. And he's thinking, if I just keep taking the high road, blah, 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 the same thing's going to happen because these guys don't have a fire lit into them. So he's thinking in his head, you know, if I do try to light their fire somehow, call them out and tell them to step up, send a message to the media. And look, I'm okay with some of this. Again, it was a little harsh. There's definitely a good time and a place to send messages to the media. LeBron's got pretty good at it in recent years, just as he's got more comfortable as his career's gone along. So I do get that. And Jimmy's thinking, hey, like, what I'm doing isn't working right now. Like, I want to do something different. I have to set off a different tone to try to turn this team around a little bit. And at this point, I mean, I can't blame the place he stems from. You know what I'm saying?
No.
And I guess that's maybe another layer of leadership, perhaps, in a twisted way.
And as a very wise man once said, I think some of these Bulls players, some of these younger guys, are going to have to decide whether they're in the circle or out of the circle.
Ooh, I love Tom Thibodeau cliches and metaphors and everything that comes with them.
The Bulls definitely let go of the rope tonight.
How many more you got?
I can go. I can do this all day. I've got some tweets ready to fire out with that picture that I always tweet.
The magic's in the work.
Absolutely. That's where it can't skip any steps.
That's funny. Jimmy is echoing. Dwayne Wade and Jimmy are echoing. I mean, like, D. Wade's comment. D. Wade wasn't here, obviously, when Tibbs was here. But they're echoing the work part. And say what you want about Jimmy Butler. Like, he got to this point in his career because of all the work he put in. And that's something that I know Jimmy loves to cite, and you can sit at home and say, like, that's kind of cliche. But with Jimmy's burgeoning stardom this year, basically every visiting coach, or I mean every two out of three that come through the United Center have been asked about Jimmy Butler. And they've seen him in different capacities, some just as an opposing coach, some hear stories from other players. A few of them have obviously worked for Team USA, but they hear, I mean, the NBA is a tight circle. People hear this. They all, without a doubt, cite his work ethic. So when Nico Mirotic is shooting that shot, Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler don't think he put in the work enough to earn the right to shoot that shot and isn't shooting it well this year, I get why they're frustrated. You know, like, you can see where they come from, I think, Sean.
Right. And yeah, absolutely. That's the one thing about Jimmy. Like, even though, you know, Even last year when he said, you know, that Hoiberg needs to coach them harder and maybe people saying maybe he shouldn't have said that to the media, you can never look at Jimmy and what he does and how much work he puts in his production and say he isn't holding up his end of the bargain.
Yeah, certainly. And Jimmy and Twain were really quick to remind everyone of that tonight. A few notes, I mean, we should probably...
Oh, by the way, before we get to some game notes, I just got a notification from Bleacher Report from the TeamStream app that quoted the Jaren Grant tweet, and it says Jaren Grant voices his frustration on Twitter. And I just want to say congrats to Jaren Grant for probably the only time he's ever going to have a Bleacher Report notification for one of his tweets.
I don't know. If he sticks around Jimmy Butler long enough, he might get the ball passed to him and hit some game-winning threes in big games in years to come. But right now, like you said, Bulls got to find who's in and out of the circle here in the last few months of the season regarding these younger guys. And we need to get into this. We'll get into this later in a podcast on an off day. But these comments... You said they're 90% directed at Nico. I'm not going there. I know the Bulls teammates are frustrated with Nico's performance, and a guy they're not happy that confidence and kind of just mental toughness is a night-to-night thing with him. Never know if it's going to show up sometimes. This affects his future because he's a restricted free agent. You know what I mean? Like, if this is what your star player thinks, you're probably not bringing that guy back on a contract of any value whatsoever. Not going to be too inclined to match it if someone else steps up with an offer. So these words carry weight in the bigger picture too, which again we should probably get into more later when we have time to parse through it. But Jaren Grant did start this game at point guard. Rajon Rondo remained number two, second unit, but only played just a shot, just under 10 minutes.
You're burying the lead when it comes to Rondo. He made a free throw tonight.
First time since December 6th.
First time since December 6th that he shot, that he made a free throw. First time since December 16th that he shot a free throw.
That's a lot of days.
Yeah, it is. Tom Haberstroh had a video piece on ESPN about that. But the streak ended tonight.
Like, I guess Joe DiMaggio's record of 56 games is safe, but Rondo was given a run for it. Michael Carter-Williams, again, took a DNP coach's decision. He's out of the rotation currently. The
Bulls' last two first-round picks, Bobby Portis and Denzel Valentine, also DNP, which is not great.
Some of those words, if you're going to assign percentages, 5% each or 10% each directed at Denzel and Bobby to get their act together too and be better. Okay.
I mean, it would certainly help the Bulls if their last two first-round picks were good enough to be in the rotation.
Yeah, and it's something like this is the worst collapse I remember of the Bulls in the I've covered them.
This is even worse than the 21-point lead that they had against the Timberwolves earlier this season. I mean, there was some more there were some more emotional like aspects of that with it being
This is off the top of my head. Someone should do a study, but like I feel like 10% of 20-point games in the NBA still come back to be like a 1 or 2-point game at some point when it's a 20-point lead that early. Like to blow a 10-point lead with under 3 minutes to play on a night your two best players are playing some of their best basketball of the year, no less, is absolutely absurd. The only comeback I remember like that kind of rivals this in somewhat of a similar context maybe would be the game the Bulls blew against the Suns. Was that in Hoiberg's rookie coaching season 2 at home where they had
a
16-point fourth quarter lead with like 8 or 9 minutes left, but even this was worse than that. And the Hawks just, they did it so quickly. Credit to them for hitting their shots when they had them, but all in all, a disastrous night for the Bulls. They have 35 games left. There could be 35 more games of subtweeting, coded messaging, messages through the media, frustration at teammates, all just boiling over in a poor atmosphere right now. Because, again, it doesn't feel like anyone's on the same page. And this is the second straight year that's been the case with a lot of new faces. And I think this is much easier to say because it is, again, young guys who can follow a lead. And if they step up, the good vibes and confidence gets going. But these guys haven't shown the ability to play consistently. And that's the problem. So we'll follow all these storylines. I don't know. We'll have a podcast this weekend sometime. We'll figure it out. The Bulls have Thursday off. On Friday, they host the Heat, who are playing well. Dwayne Wade's former team, I believe they've won 5 straight, including a win over the Warriors.
Tyler Johnson and Josh Richardson are both not going to travel for the Heat, though.
So
they're going to be shorthanded, and Justice Winslow is out for the year. Seems like a game the Bulls will be right to lose on the heels of this.
I wondered how you're going to frame that. But as always, follow Sean on Twitter at Hyken. Follow myself at Cody Westerlin. Follow Jaren Grant on Twitter, too. Like, if you want the entertainment, I'm not sure exactly what his handle is, but you can find that.
His handle is just Jaren Grant.
There you go. There you go. Follow Locked On Bulls on Twitter. Find it on Facebook by the same name. Email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com with any advertising inquiries, any basketball questions, any Jimmy Butler, Dwayne Wade questions. What did they mean? We're trying to explain everything to you. I think they made themselves pretty clear on this night, though. And most of all, please subscribe to the podcast.
That's right. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere else that you can find podcasts. Make sure you subscribe. Leave us a 5-star review. Tell your friends to subscribe. Check out the other podcasts in the Locked On Podcast Network for all your NBA and NFL needs. Check out The Athletic to read my coverage of this game and the ongoing drama of the Bulls. Check out 670thescore.com to read Cody's work, and we will be back with you guys soon. Thanks for listening.